Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblastinggame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been hanging around, thanks for that too. John Stanton, we're going to make it worth your while because I got somebody that you're really going to like hearing again, listening to again. John's been with us many times before. John Stanton is a professor at St. Joseph University, which is hard by to Philadelphia area. He spent many years in the marketplace, though. That's one of the reasons why I like him. And he's the author, along with Richard George, of a couple of my favorite books, Delight Me, The Ten Commandments of Customer Service, and Success Leaves Clues. John Stanton, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to be on with you.
It's good to have you back, and it's always great to have you back. John, what are some things I love having you back on the show, besides the fact that you're a really cool guy. You always have some great stories of some things that are really going on out there in the marketplace that you've been working on. I want you to give us one of those.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been doing a project for the mushroom industry, and they want to sell more mushrooms, just like all your listeners want
right.
to sell more of whatever they have.
Right.
And they've been primarily just advertising, you know, saying eat more mushrooms or mushrooms are good for you, and you know, on and on. And so we thought, geez, people still aren't buying mushrooms. So we wanted to do a little project and find out, really dig deep, you know, what is it that's keeping people from buying mushrooms? And lo and behold, it was the simplest thing. People forgot to pick them up in the grocery store.
Hmm.
That simple. And you know, it's going to change a lot of what they do.
The milk people fixed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Got milk?
Boy,
so,
they spent a ton on that.
We need to have a campaign that says, got shrooms?
Well, the problem is that people, you know, who intend to have steak and mushrooms for dinner,
right?
They never forget to buy the steak.
Exactly.
And so a lot of the solutions are very simple. It's trying to merchandise, for example, get the mushrooms closer to where the other food is,
mm-hmm.
like near the steak in the meat
right.
section or
right.
near the pizza, et cetera. And I think the bigger message for that is a lot of us try and find these very complicated solutions to our problems, when in reality the solutions are really pretty simple. And we just have to really spend some time listening to consumers or listening to our customers and find out what is it. I mean, what is the obstacle? What is the thing that's keeping them from buying our product? And most of the times, I find it's really pretty simple. It's not the complicated things at all. It's
right.
just things like, I forgot.
Well, how do we get our customers to remember us? What are some things? For example, what have you recommended to the mushroom industry that they do to get people to remember them?
Well, it's if you understand the whole process of what people are going through to buy the product. In the case of mushrooms, it's not spending money telling them that they're good for them. It's not spending money giving them recipes, because they actually have all that. It's taking advantage of things in store at the point of purchase, like in-store advertising.
Mm-hmm.
The radio, in-store radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having more exciting packages. And this is an industry, by the way, that if you look at the packages, I mean, they're just outright boring.
Right.
I said, I don't think people forgot them. I think they just avoided them.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's doing everything. It's constant. As a matter of fact, in our book, Success Leaves Clues, one of our rules is concentrate your resources at the point of attack. And what we really mean is at the point where it really makes a difference. So in the case of the mushroom industry, it's the point of attack. The real place where the problem is right there when the person picks it up. Now, you know, there's other products out there that's not the case. I mean,
right.
The real point of attack is convincing them that they ought to have it in the first place.
Well, yeah, it seems to me that I like your idea about well, what I got from what you were just saying is it's not our customer's responsibility to remember all the great ways to use our product. We have to do that, don't we?
That's right.
We have
that's
to help
right.
them with that. If that's putting a little sign up that says, "Did you know that mushrooms are great in pasta?"
Yep.
Or try mushrooms with your beans today, or something
Absolutely.
Like that. Or another example is, and I don't know if this is true, but just if it were, you would say something like, "Did you know that most tire failure happens in the last third of the tread?"
That's right. That's exactly right. What you find, for example, and I'll,
John, hold
when
on.
We come
to, hold
back,
on.
I'll give you another example.
Yeah, hold on to that thought, folks. We'll be right back with the really cool Mr. John Stanton, the author of "Delight Me: The 10 Commandments of Customer Service." It's 20 till. Here's Van Halen to take us out. We're back at 17 till. Isn't that a great song? John Stanton remembers that song, don't you, John?
I sure do. One fine day. You know, I'll tell you one thing. Your listeners probably don't give a damn about what you and I say. They just wait for the music to come on between the sessions.
They just know. Well, they one thing they know is whether you or I have anything smart to say at all, they know they're going to have some good music. That's for sure. John Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the author, along with Richard George, of some outstanding books, including Success Leaves Clues. John, these books are available wherever books are sold, aren't they?
That is correct. Yep. The easiest way to get them is on Amazon or any of the online, but all the bookstores have them.
Stanton, John Stanton. John, you were going to tell us you had another example you were going to give us when we went to the break.
Well, you know, I'm always impressed with Gillette because I think they're really, really good marketers. And one of the things that they discovered was, why do you think people don't change their razor blades more often? Not a real complicated thing. They just forget to. Well, they were running a campaign for quite a while that said, you know, Monday is the day to change your Monday is change day. I mean, just something to remind people, hey, change your razor blade.
Right.
And so many times.
Usually the blood tells me when to change.
I know. That's how I know. But the pain.
That's one way. That's one way to know.
But and I think the message, no matter what products, I mean, most of your listeners aren't selling mushrooms or razor blades, but the message is, if you listen really carefully to what your customers are saying, and if you really pay attention, in most cases, what you have to do to convince them to buy your products are really the basic things, the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't, you know, these massive, how do we do this? It's so complicated. It's, you know, it generally isn't. It's generally pretty straightforward and simple.
What if we just walked up to our customers in our store and said, "Ms. Jones, you come in this store on a regular basis, and we really appreciate that. But if somebody walked up to you out in the street and said, why do you go to that shop? Why do you buy from that store? Why do you eat their food? Why do you buy their stuff?" What would you tell them? Don't ask them in the first person. Try to get them to think about in the third person. What would you tell that person?
Yep.
Don't you need to know? I mean, don't we need to know that?
Oh, for sure. And you know, one of the
things we might think that they came in because our bread is so good or our food is so good or whatever. But it might just be because, you know what, I don't like crossing the street to the other place. I like their food better, but this one's on this side. Who knows what they might say?
Yep. You know, one of the things I do all the time when I'm in stores is I watch people pick something up, and I walk up to them and say, "Listen, I don't mean to bother you, but could you just tell me why'd you do that?" And you know, how many
grocery stores have you been thrown out for harassing customers, John?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've had about half of the people Just look at me and say, we're weird.
Yes, but, right.
But if you have no pride, like me, it's the
or and obviously no life.
Yeah. One time I was with another guy, and we were in a wonderful city, San Francisco, and I was talking to my wife, and she said, so what are you guys going to do tonight? And I said, Mark and I are going to go out. We're going to visit some grocery stores. She says, you know something? You're sick.
I'm surprised she didn't say, well, I won't worry about you being out in the honky-tonks. And so what do the people tell you when you walk up to them after they determine that you're not a stalker? What do they tell you?
That's right. They usually give you incredible insight. I mean, they really give you incredible insight. And an awful lot of people, especially people in small business, say, oh, you know, I can't afford to run focus groups, and I can't afford to have research companies. You don't need to do that. You need to just listen. I mean, someone comes in, or it doesn't have to be a consumer. It can be, most of the time that a salesperson spends with a customer, not a consumer, but, you know, a B2B, they spend talking about their product,
mm-hmm.
telling them the attributes of their product, telling them the benefits of their product. A certain amount of time has to be spent listening to your customer. And because it's not really about you.
Mm-hmm. One
it's
of the,
about them.
One of the things, John, I've been wanting to ask you about, to see what your thoughts are. I think I have identified an epidemic that's happening in the marketplace, and I've given it a name, and the name is, it's the customer, what customer syndrome.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, this is a condition that happens when companies decide that they're more interested in what their competitors are doing than what their customers want, and
yeah.
they focus their strategy and their activity and their decisions on how to manipulate customers to beat their competition instead of how to serve their customers. What do you
yep.
think?
Yep.
I think it's becoming an epidemic, I fear.
Well, I think it's I could not agree with you more. And I think that one of the problems is that it's almost this sense that the customer really is not the important part of the... Every single company I go into has some plaque in the front that says how important the customer is.
Right.
And then you go into a meeting and you listen to people talk, and you can be in there for an hour, and the word customer never comes up.
But I bet the competition does.
Every other word. Yep.
It's folks, it's a death wish for your business if
yep.
you have the customer, what customer syndrome. Quick break, right back with our good friend John Stanton after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
You better find somebody to love.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Stanton is our guest. Longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of our top customer care experts, one of the guys who helps us make sure that we put our best foot forward in the marketplace. And John, for all you've done for us over the years, we thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I just hope that I always tell the story. My dad owned a small business,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the things that had the biggest impact on my life was watching the way my dad worked, and watched the way people treated my father, and watched the way my father treated customers, and for that really has been one of the greatest influences.
Wasn't it
life.
A service station?
It was a gas station. Yeah. In those days, they were service stations.
That's right.
And he had very little education, and he just knew that he treated people the way he wished that they would treat him.
I bet he never considered competition, did he? I bet he had a laser focus on his customers, didn't he?
He did. And I can remember a couple times, that I would be, eating my lunch or something, and a customer would come in with gas, and I didn't jump up, instantly, and he would give me a whack on the back of my head. He said, that guy paid for the sandwich you're eating.
We need to get back to those kind of roots in small business, you know. And you know, I hope nobody listening hears us talking about that and you reflecting on that kind of a focus on customer and think that that's anything but just an absolutely essential way to think about our customers.
Well, you know, a test, Jim, that I think is a good idea is after you've had a meeting and after you or when you after spending a day, just take 10 minutes at the end of the day and reflect back on how many times you even said the word customer.
Yep.
Or, you know, you had any kind of reflection talking about the importance or what you can do, anything like that. And I think what many of your listeners will be surprised is how few times the customer actually came into their conversations and discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Even though if we asked them how important is the customer to them, they would, of course, say, oh, very important. That's one of the most important, you know, things that we, et cetera. But in reality, they tend to get lost in the day-to-day shuffle of what it is that they're doing.
I think sometimes I get the feeling when I go in some places, especially fast food, and that's a joke anymore. We got to come up with another term for that industry, talk about a contradiction in terms. But the thing is that those people. Sometimes I feel when I go into some businesses that me being there is them thinking, this guy is here to take this stuff out of our way. You know what I mean? I feel like when I drive up to a window at a fast food place, they say, okay, here's somebody else to take some of these sacks that are in my way.
Yep.
You know, John, I'm the kind of guy, and I do this all the time, and my audience knows what I'm going to say. I'm the kind of guy who pulls up, and if they just stick the sack in my hand, I just sit there and look at them.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, can I help you? I say, well, how about thank you?
Yep.
The other day I actually had a woman to say this to me, and I've never had this happen before. She said, thank you. Like, what could you possibly be thinking?
Yeah.
Usually they get it after I stick it in their face.
Jim, I had someone, I stood there just like you did. We're looking at each other. And she says to me, well, and I said, some people say thank you. She looks at me and says, it's printed on the receipt.
Oh, my God.
Yep. It's
oh, my God.
But you see, I think you hit on a key thing for your listeners. It is almost impossible for the Giants. It's really difficult for McDonald's to get its 250 million employees or whatever they have to go through this process.
See, I disagree with that.
Small business can make it happen. It's their advantage.
Right. I hope the big companies don't do it because that's to our advantage.
Absolutely correct. It's the place where we can really make a difference and do something different.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't preach this stuff, you and I, because we just think we want people to be nice to their customers.
Yeah.
We preach it because it's a way that you can compete against
differentiation.
The Giants. And when these people have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on promotion and advertising and you don't have it, then look for something else that you can do to compete with them.
And saying thank you costs nothing.
It's the best
investment you can make. John Stanton, this has been great. Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. Hope you have a great holiday.
Jim, happy holidays to you and all your listeners. It is a great pleasure to be on your show and talk to them.
We'll see you again real soon. John Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world on behalf of freedom. God bless you. God be with you. We are very proud of you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.